Kin admitted to stealing the identities of multiple people, including family members, to make donations to his 2022 political campaign. His sentencing is scheduled for February 7th. Weather in Washington, D.C. right now is 73 degrees and partly cloudy. In New York City, 69 degrees with fair skies. For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns. Thanks for listening.
Good afternoon. This is the Shai Rana Show with your host, Zain Al-Amin. This is a show that focuses on Arab culture.
Good afternoon. We're just having a ball here at WPFW. That is what it's about. There's nothing better than working with family, you know, and we choose our family. We're not blood family here, but we are certainly like family. We want to thank Anonymous out of Severn, Maryland, who got Shai Wanana started, Mint and Tea. Zain El-Amin has a fantastic show for you. And we want to thank Jim for helping Mwiza to make gold today. Thank you, out of Silver Spring, Maryland. We appreciate you, Jim. We appreciate everyone who's called today. Keep the calls coming, 800-222-9739. Shai Wanana needs only $250 to make the goal. So let's help Zain do this. He's been such a soldier in making sure that we know about what is happening on the front lines in Palestine. And we appreciate his commitment on and off the air. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org are the ways to connect. Of course, there's always Cash App, $WPFWFM. Now to Zain El-Amin and Shai Wanana.
It was really important to share it with you, as it was shared with the Electronic Intifada, also to steal your spine, because I know some of you are exhausted by now, and maybe you've had a break in the summer where you can start afresh, but the work needs to continue, and especially in light of what's happening right now at the DNC, where there's a lot of denial about what's going on, including lies told by AOC, where she said that Kamala Harris is doing everything she can bring on a ceasefire, which is a lie. AOC has been how should I describe it without using obscenities, but AOC has betrayed us, has betrayed the people, has been lying, has been supporting Genocide Joe. This is just one of the biggest lies she has told. Nobody's trying to call for a ceasefire, and it's really obvious. That will be the subject of the second segment, which is hosted by Breakthrough News, where Rania Khalik interviews Ali Abu Nima about how the DNC won't budget on Israel's support. It's an amazing document, in a sense that it shows that they want to claim at the DNC convention, at the Democratic convention right now in Chicago, they want to claim that everything that was done positively, that things that have impacted, for example, the economy positively, that things that anything on domestic issues has been the work of Kamala Harris. But when you talk about foreign policy and the criminality of the Biden-Harris administration, they claim that, oh, vice presidents can't accomplish anything. And out of the other side of their mouths, they say, oh, well, Kamala Harris is, has achieved all of these things and has the power to do all the things. But when it comes to the actual murder of children and babies, which is her hands are soaked to the elbows with the blood of Palestinians, they claim that she couldn't do anything about that. This is the kind of news that you will hear here. You will not get this anywhere unless you're tuning in to social media and such. And that's why I want to urge you today As we're going through a pledge drive, this is the WPFW FM's pledge drive, and it'll be going on for another week. And our goal for this show is very modest. It's $600. So I urge you, if you're listening, or if you've listened to this show before, or if you've been a guest on this show, or you love the music, the news, or the fact that this is the most news that you get in terms of incisive news on what's happening in Gaza, on the most important piece of news today, which relates to everything. If you think this is separate from domestic issues, of course you haven't been paying attention to the billions of dollars that have been taken out of our domestic coffers into the pockets of the military industrial complex to commit this genocide. What is really clear right now is that this is not Israel's war. This is the US's war now. And Israel is just a tool. And the United States, with the arms they've sent, with a third of the fleet of aircraft carriers being sent into the region, with the 2,000-pound bombs that have been given generously so that they can be dropped on the heads of children and babies and men and women and the elderly. This is the US's war. This is Biden's war. This is Harris's war, and it has to be resisted. And resisting that doesn't mean you can't resist Trump too. You have to resist all of it. This is a failing empire. Everybody knows, around the world knows this, but our society and our morality and our humanity doesn't have to collapse with this collapsing empire. So if you believe in this message, if you've been working hard to try to save some smidgen of humanity in this country, some smidgen of civility in this nation, I urge you to call 202-588-9739 and make a pledge. No pledge is too small, we always say, and no pledge is too large. Also, you can go on WPFWFM.org and make a donation there. Click on the donate button and go to WPFWFM. Again, the number is 202-588-9739. And I'll let you listen now to the first segment, which is "We Are Thankful for Every Day We Wake Up." This is an interview with Abu Bakr, who has been was an amazing spirit, who has been thankfully has survived so many bombardments and transfers with his family and his garden that he's established in his home, as you will hear, while you're listening to that, I hope that you will call and make a donation at 202-588-9739. Thank you.
Abu Bakr. Ah,
there he is.
There you are.
Hi. Well, the very first thing before we talk about anything, there has been just now, 1 minute before I connected with you, a couple of bombings around me. Just now, explosive, massively explosive, two bombings around here, intense hovering of warplanes hovering also, and drones are heavily buzzing over our heads. That is the same scene that we have been talking about for more than 310 days. That's just all I want to say at the beginning. And I'm very happy, always.
Alhamdulillah, salamtak wa na'iman. You have a beautiful new haircut.
Yeah.
And we're always happy to see you, Abu Bakr. And your smile and your warm spirit are something that warms our hearts, but they're also in a way they don't reveal all the reality of what's going on, because over the past week or so, and even longer, the situation in Deir al-Balah and in the central Gaza has been absolutely horrifying. Abu Bakr, we always pray for your safety, but the violence has been very close to you and to your family and your community. Tell us about what's happening, what has been happening, what should people outside Gaza know?
Well, as I've told you, that the normal scene, the usual update we've been all aware of, or the outside world has been well aware of, is that bombings continue, casualties continue, the death toll rises on a very daily basis. War-wounded people also continue to rise. That is the normal update. So let's just talk about beyond these figures and beyond these usual scenes that people have been watching from their screens in peace and comfort over the past 300 days and more. Now, what we can tell you is that, unfortunately, starvation is still hitting the community. We can see that children, young children, still queue up for some water, walk the streets long kilometers to get some liters of water, and it is not really well filtered. It is still in a way contaminated. The same thing, women. Where is the concept of a woman when a woman carries a bag of flour of more than 25 kilograms and takes it and carries it for 3 hours or so and walks for hundreds of kilometers to get it to their family? Then where are the word women to talk about the atrocities that our women are going through in a very daily basis? Also, at the same time, our neighbors, because my sister was the same thing, she was pregnant. My neighbor, she is pregnant, probably a 30-year-old pregnant woman. She is in her 9th month. I asked her last time and I told her that, what did you eat for today? And she preferred not to answer. But her answer then in the end was absolutely shocking, because what she said really broke my heart. What she eats daily, she is pregnant, she needs absolute complete care. There is, I'm sorry to cut that off, but there is going to be another bombing right now. The sound is very clear in the sky, so I'm gonna hold on. I'm not gonna say anything, but this is the usual scene over the past weeks, because it has been so intense.
Abu Bakr, need to move to a different location?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm fine. But I'm just telling you that what is really going around me at the moment, because that has been the case over the past weeks. No, don't worry. This is our life in the end. So what she said was that we eat one single meal per day, and that is some stale bread. That is only some stale bread. She doesn't have any sort of sanitary conditions, good sanitary conditions, or any things, any facilities, any help that she can really deliver this baby very well. And she lives in a tent, and summer temperatures, you know, range from 36 to 40. This is absolutely hell on earth. This is literally hell on earth, just believe me. And regarding the bombings, there's been yesterday the naval bombardment across the Deir al-Balah Sea is absolutely insane. One fisherman at least who risked their lives to make a living. They don't have guns, they're not armed, they're just civilians, they're just very simple. They don't know anything about life except the sea and their boat. How on earth are they being gunned down? How on earth are they being killed on a very daily basis? at least one fisherman is killed per day by Israeli Navy. That is literally insane. Also, because we have been talking about, we have been hearing very wildly about the news, about the story that went viral of Mohammed Abul Khamsan, whose twin baby has been killed. Already, how many times have I talked to you and talked to my, or everywhere that the eastern outskirts of Deir al-Balah have been intensely bombed over the course of the past months. He was attacked the same way an Israeli tank bomb has flattened his house, and it killed all of his entire family, including his twin baby. So there is a very, very, very intense ground, bombardment east of Deir al-Balah. There is, at the same time, a naval bombardment across the Deir al-Balah Sea. There is also insane level of bombardment and shelling across the south and different parts of Deir al-Balah at the same time, because there has been a variety of massacres. The videos and the records we've been filming and documenting and seeing and witnessing are absolutely beyond horrifying. I swear, I'm not really shy of saying this, but sometimes, and most of the time, the last time I remember I had a sleep, a really, really good sleep, was probably like 2 months ago, because the last 2 months have been absolutely the most hellish.
What can you say about the status of people in the central area who have been displaced over and over and over again and have tried to find refuge in these central areas? What's the situation inside shelters in these, kind of western, on the beach? Like, what's the situation for people there?
It's really disastrous, beyond disastrous, because there is literally no shelter in central Gaza, because the northern parts of central Gaza, when we talk about Al-Nusayrawat refugee camp and Al-Burayj refugee camp as well, both areas have been ordered to evacuate numerous times by the Israeli forces. And then these people come to Deir al-Balah, to the central part of Deir al-Balah, and then they don't find any places. It's just like Deir al-Balah is literally bursting at the seams. There is no single space empty for people to come, because tents are dotting along the streets. Tents are just like, people are literally canned in Deir al-Balah. How on earth, just like, you are talking about more than a million people now trapped in Deir al-Balah, because the further, the southernmost areas of the strip are invaded by the Israeli occupation forces, and then where should people go? If the most horrific idea that people have been really afraid of and frightened of is that, what if Deir al-Balah will be invaded or is invaded? Then where will we go? We should just be waiting for an inevitable death, because there's no safe place, there's no safe zone in Gaza. And yet, if Deir al-Balah is designated as a so-called safe zone by Israeli forces, then it is still not safe. We've already seen the horrific and the terrifying scenes coming out from Deir al-Balah and the massacres unfolding across Deir al-Balah in particular, because literally, as far as I know, as I'm concerned, at least over the past 2 weeks per day, we lose 5 people and tens of injuries. So the death toll, particularly in Deir al-Balah, and that is a symptom of Israel's war on Gaza, that is a symptom of Israel's brutal assault in Gaza, and that is a symptom of the world's silence on the continued massacres by Israeli forces.
Abu Bakr, we are all, for month after month, week after week, talk of a ceasefire, talk of negotiations in Doha and Rome and Cairo. Hopes go up, then hopes are dashed. We get news that something is going to happen, and then it doesn't, and then the Israelis escalate their massacres. And once again now, we're waiting, what's going to happen in Doha on Thursday? Is Hamas going to take part? Are they not going to take part? Is the U.S. all this talk, and this is still going on. What I want to ask you, what I want to ask you, Abu Bakr, is what are people around you saying about this? Do they still have any? We all desperately want a ceasefire now, a stop to this genocide now. Are people still paying attention to what's happening outside, or have
I understand, but look, the very first thing that I want to tell you, it's very easy to tally. If this war can end, it's just about one call from Biden. Call Netanyahu and tell him stop the war seriously, and then the war ends. But what goes under the table between Netanyahu and the Tel Aviv government and the American government is what we are not aware of, is that America wants a war. America funds the genocide. America wants this war, because we've already seen that the weapons used by Israel in killing us and genociding us are really American made. So we are not saying like when Blinken goes up at like appears in a conference and says that we are pressing for a ceasefire, we are intensifying our efforts to make sure that we are going to reach a deal very soon, an agreement for ceasefire very soon. And he is lying, absolutely, because at the same time this news comes out, what really makes us, that's the point, Dr. Ali, which is that what really makes us so sad is that at the same time, this kind of news goes out to us that we are pressing, that the U.S. government, the Qatari government and the mediators are trying to press for a ceasefire to relax us of this barbarity and insanity. Then there's some news that the United States has renewed its sales to Israel, its weapons sales to Israel. That is literally disappointing. But again, believe me, what really, really makes us the most hopeful, what really, really lifts our spirits is your support, is your continued support. As long as we don't feel we are alone, then we still have hope. But once you give it up, you give it up, because we're not going to give it up at all. We have belief in ourselves. We have belief that everything will be okay. We have belief that this is going to end. We're going to fight for our existence because it's all right. That's the essence of us. But if you really want to give it up, then we are going to be highly affected and badly affected by what is really going on. I told you one time, all the times, like 313 days, you probably would say that Abu Bakr would change in some tries. No, not at all. Still hopeful. I'm still smiling. I'm still so pleased to talk to you. I still know that your pressure, your protest, your boycotting, and all what you do is going to pay off in the end. And that's what is going to really happen in the end, because I'm sure this is the essence of the good people who are living now on earth.
Abu Bakr, earlier during the news report, I showed a picture of the photo of your niece, Aylul, that you tweeted a few days ago. People are asking about her, about your other family members, and about your rose bushes. So give us some updates on your beautiful family and your garden.
Yes, her sparkling eyes. That's the most thing I've been hearing from people. Yes, she's been saying like sparkling eye, long eyelashes. Like, from where did they come? No, I didn't create her. Astaghfirullah, but Allah has created her. I didn't know anything. But just about, you know, yes, Aylul has really, you know, prematured. You know, she really understands things that other people don't understand, because the war has really taught us lots of things and lots of really, really, you know, complicated and complex things. Because Aylul, whenever a rocket falls near, she says that, I told her most of the time that, are you not afraid? And she says that the rocket is dumb, the rocket is stupid. So then you're saying, what is she literally saying? She's only two. So that's the story. She cries, but you know, she sobs because that's the normal scene. She's a child in the end. We are afraid, we're panicked. She's panicked as well. A lot of people are panicked. My family is panicked whenever a rocket falls nearby. But then in the end, she and the other nieces and my other nieces and nephews really, really get panicked because of the level of, you know, explosiveness in such, you know, in such bombardments, because, you know, it's literally hell. It's very, you know, it's inconceivable. Like, I remember the last time, like yesterday, there was an attack on the sea, an airstrike on the sea area. And then it was like 10 p.m. our time. And then everybody was like, you know, was terrorized by this horrendous attack. Then what could you expect for a child like this? Then they will cry and they will really sob because of this level of barbarity and insanity, because this level of barbarity is of the very, very highest order. We cannot see anything like that. And the moment that we see that things may stop and things may get easier, then another massacre happens. And I really wrote this for the Electronic Intifada, because I don't know why Saturdays, why massacres always happen on Saturdays. We're talking about at least 8 massacres have happened on Saturday. The Saturday, the Khadija Gaza School massacre, the Saturday, at Tabin School massacre, the Saturday, Al Ahli Hospital massacre, the Saturday of October the 7th, the Saturday of Jabalia massacre. Then all of this has just happened on Saturday. What is wrong with Saturday? I'm too frightened, intimidated by really Saturday. Saturday is going to be 3 days later. What is really going to happen 3 days later? We really, really, the thing that I want to tell you is that we really, really thankful that every day we wake up, because we really, at the end of the day, we just say that we're lucky if we really wake up the next day. If we don't, then we have no other choice, because this has been the story. I honestly had a dream. My family had a dream. We had a dream that we have survived this genocide. And the happiness that really, you know, smeared faces, the covered of faces was really unmatched. And regarding the roses and the jasmine trees, again, jasmine trees and the basil and the other stuff, they are really, really blooming despite the desperate lack of water, because I'm trying to find some water. I try to walk kilometers to just find some water and really water these plants, because they really mean to me everything. They really give me hope amid such barbarity, amid such incredibly harsh times. We're gonna wait for what is next. We're gonna have some hope. And please, to everyone listening to me, it's beyond what a human being can endure. It's beyond what a human being can imagine. What I see on the hospital, I frequently visit the hospital sometimes because of some friends and some other colleagues, etc., and some reports, but what I see inside the hospital is literally horrifying. A child with many facial burns, another child with multiple fractures in his chest, another woman, she's all burnt like a roasted chicken. It's not for fun, but this is what is really happening. Also, we've seen that a mother, she's broken, and her mom and her child, like 2-year-old, the child is playing around her. She tries, despite her pain, she tries to give him some sort of tenderness, some sort of love, despite what she is going through. So what we see, the scene and the image right now, we can't really think about it because it has gone way, way far worse than what it really is and what it really has been. So we just hope, we pray for an end. We thank you. We see hope in you once again that this will end. And we want to see Free Palestine very soon and a very, very urgent end to this ongoing genocide.
Amen to that, Abu Bakr. And before we let you go, I just want to say on behalf of all of us who are here and who are watching, and you know, all the people who are writing comments, that we will never give up. As long as you don't give up, we will never give up. Just before you came on, and now just we're going to go back to that topic. We're talking about the mass protests that are going to be happening in Chicago during the Democratic National Party, the Democratic Party's National Convention. Tens of thousands of people are going to be in the street. People are still coming out. We want that message to reach you as well, and to say to you, Abu Bakr, we love you. We are praying for you and your family and for everyone in Gaza to keep you safe, to end this now, to end it now without delay. We don't want to wait till Thursday. We want to end now, and to see your beautiful face and smile and hear your voice without the sound of bombs in the background. This is what we're working for and praying for. And we hope we'll see you back soon. And maybe in the meantime, you'll send us some photos of your garden if you can.
Please.
I will try to do my best. Thank you so much. Just try to do your best. And I know you, I really, you know, it's going to be, you know, we have the same feelings. We share the same feelings. And you know, who am I really talking to? And I know the great audience behind listening to me and all of them. And I've really received myself messages talking to me that we haven't seen you for a while on the EI podcast. And I told them that I could not, it's not easy circumstances at all. Yeah. But again, this kind of, this sort of love and level of love is something that pushes me to continue despite the harsh circumstances. So again, and one time again, and all the time, hope and love from where Abu Bakr is and from Gaza, and Deir al-Balah in particular. Bye-bye. The very best.
Thank you, Abu Bakr.
We love you.
We love you. We'll see you soon.
You just listened to the clip that was played, or the interview rather, that was conducted with Electronic Intifada with Abu Bakr, who's been keeping them updated on what's happening in his home and in Gaza. And he's doing it with great hope that we will continue to fight against this genocide and to confront this empire that is setting the world on fire in every way, whether it's through war or through climate change. These are the kind of stories we share, and they're not just stories that catalog the miseries, but also point the way forward. For people who want to get active, who want to get involved, we usually talk about what demonstrations, what actions you can take. In this case, I just wanted to relay that there's a voice in Gaza telling you to keep doing the work you're doing, because it matters. It matters because they need to keep that that hope alive. And basically, you are the spark that helps light up that hope in every action that you take. I want to encourage you to help us during this pledge drive time and make a donation to the show. The number to call is 202-588-9739. And I urge you to make a donation to the Shayonana show, which has been bringing you all the news from inside Gaza, the best of news, that is. And also, as we embark on a new academic year and a new sets of actions that'll be happening, we'll be updating you on that. This is the place to come to find out what's going on in the city. So again, please make a donation at 202-588-9739. That's 202-588-9739. Call in, make a donation, no matter how small, no matter how large. And our goal is a modest $600 for this hour. Thank you for helping us. And now we'll listen to another clip from Breakthrough News. This time it's Rania Khalik interviewing Ali Abu Nima about what is happening, what is actually happening in the DNC, what's happening at the Democratic Convention right now. And the things we're gonna listen to around the first 20 minutes of this. And I want you to notice how revelatory this interview is about the lack of desire for the Democratic Party to even budge on the issue of Israel. And again, it is because this is the people that are killing right now is the United States government. The Israel is just a tool, and the United States is panicking because its watchdog in the Middle East is, even though it's committing genocide, it's losing militarily, and it's besieged by an axis of resistance that's fed up with the hegemonic foot on their neck. We'll listen to the inside story of what's happening in the DNC, and specifically the details. Ali Abu Nima here does an amazing job exposing the platform that they presented. He had, as usual, read the whole thing, and he highlights all the points that relate to Palestine. By the way, Palestine is only mentioned once in that. And also to, you know, I would encourage you to listen to the rest of it. I won't be able to share the whole thing with you, but you can listen to the rest of it on YouTube with Breakthrough News. So let's have a listen.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rania Khalik, and this is a special live episode of Dispatches. We've watched 10 months of Israel's live-streamed Holocaust in Gaza. And in that time, we've watched American officials from both parties unconditionally support the slaughter, giving Israel an endless supply of weapons, intelligence assistance, and diplomatic cover, while blaming Palestinians for whatever horror the Israelis inflict on them, and doing all they can to suppress dissent at home. Meanwhile, every Israeli accusation against Palestinians seems to be a confession, as evidence piles up that Israel is intentionally burning Palestinian children, systematically using rape as a weapon, and is using Palestinians as human shields. And the media keeps on lying, and the Biden administration, while arming the killers, insists it's pushing for a ceasefire. In the midst of all this gaslighting is the Democratic National Convention, which has already been marred by controversy, as Vice President Kamala Harris faces disruptions and protests from anti-genocide activists. Joining me to discuss these developments is Ali Abu Nima, Executive Director of the Electronic Intifada and author of The Battle for Justice in Palestine. Ali, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rania. It's great to be with you again.
Well, it's great to have you on again, though sadly the subject matter has never been so great, but there's a lot to get into. And I think a good place to start here is what you've recently been tweeting about, which is this new Democratic platform that just came out. It says quite a few things, and I wanna touch on some of those points. But before I let you kind of summarize it a bit, I wanted to show what I thought was quite interesting. I'm showing the Democratic platform right here. Sorry, I have a few things highlighted because I looked into it and I looked up Israel. As you actually mentioned, look up Israel. It's mentioned 21 times in this platform. And before we get into, sorry if this is giving anyone a headache for how I'm doing it on screen, but before we get into specifically what it says about Israel, I wanted to note that it opens, Ali, with a land acknowledgement. The Democratic National Committee wishes to acknowledge that we gather to state our values on lands that have been stewarded through many centuries by the ancestors and descendants of tribal nations. And on and on and on. I mean, that were genocided by American settler colonialism, but just the irony. So Ali, I'm gonna bring up a few of your tweets about this, but first I wanted to give you the chance to, since you've looked through this entire document, I have not had the chance to, can you tell us what matters in this document related to the genocide in Gaza?
Yeah, so this is the Democratic Party's 2024 platform. So this is their manifesto. They're setting out their stall for voters to say, you know, these are the policies that we're going to stand for and pursue if you give us another 4 years in the White House. It covers every area of policy, domestic and foreign, and it runs to about 90 pages, which I haven't read in full. I've read the about four or five pages, or closely read, let's say, the four or five pages which deal with the Middle East and North Africa, as they put it, that's the term they use, and particularly the events of October 7th. And as you say, the land acknowledgement at the beginning, the Democratic National Convention, as we speak, is happening right now in Chicago. And so they acknowledge the lands of the indigenous people, which has become a trend. I think this trend started in Australia, which is also a settler colony, and then it moved to Canada. Now it's come to the United States and is common in, I think, radical circles, but also in what we might ironically call woke circles, like the Democratic Party, where they're acknowledging, oh, we're on indigenous land, tribal land, while they are supporting the genocide, arming the genocide of another indigenous people, the Palestinians around the world. And of course, it's important to mention that both the Democrats and the Republicans continue to violate the land and water rights of indigenous people in North America through relentless pursuit of oil drilling and other extractive projects. So they don't even mean it when it comes to indigenous people in the United States. That said, the sort of four or five pages in the platform that focus on the Middle East and North Africa is some of the most extreme militaristic neocon language I've seen. It's truly incredible. They brag about how the Biden-Harris administration has bombed numerous countries, how hardline its support for Israel is. And I know we're going to get into some of those details, but just that's the overall flavor of it. And what's striking to me also is how completely out of touch it is with the base of the Democratic Party. Mm. This is not a platform that represents Democratic voters, even. And you look at poll after poll, survey after survey, in recent years, and especially since October 7th, and the base of the Democratic Party is overwhelmingly against these policies, against this unconditional support for Israel, against the endless Biden-Harris wars, against demonizing Palestinians, and against this open checkbook for Israel. Most Democratic voters want at least some conditions attached to U.S. aid to Israel, if not to have it cut off overall. But none of that is reflected in this platform. It's a platform for lobbyists, for big donors, for Democratic Party elites, but it's not a platform for Democratic Party voters.
Yeah, and I think it's it's really important to make that distinction, because I think the genocide in Gaza has really brought out how the Democratic Party is just one arm of the two-party dictatorship that is full-on pro-imperialism. And just to get to some of the points that you were talking about, I'm gonna pull up a few of your tweets here. I think this one's quite interesting because, you know, the Democratic Party claims to be very much, you know, feminist and cares about sexual assault. And we're going to talk, you know, we can talk a bit more about this, Ali, too, about the fact that so much has come to light about what Israel is doing to Palestinians. There is evidence on video of Palestinian being gang raped by Israeli soldiers. And that's one of many instances, given what Palestinians have endured since October 7th. And that's not even to mention how Israel has used rape in the past as a weapon. But they've systematically been raping Palestinians, in some cases to death. The platform doesn't mention that. I'm just gonna say what your tweet says. You said, well, the Democrats' 2024 platform definitely seeks to perpetuate Israel's genocidal October 7 mass rape hoax. It's interesting the platform doesn't use the term rape, but rather the broader, vaguer term conflict-related sexual violence, which in UN definitions is not the same. What this indicates to me is that Democrat thinking is something like this. We definitely want to spread this poisonous, genocide-inciting, anti-Palestinian lie, but we no longer think we can get away with specifically alleging rape because there's no evidence for it. And then you highlight the part where they mention exactly what you quoted, about sexual violence. But again, none of this even touches on what we've learned that Israel's been doing to Palestinians. So I'm not sure if you'd like to add to what you tweeted there.
Yeah, let me just, before I focus specifically on the rape and sexual violence aspect, they have this whole section which is titled Response to the October 7 Hamas Attack on Israel and Next Steps to a Lasting Peace for Israelis and Palestinians. And no surprise to anyone, it portrays October 7th as this dastardly, evil act by Palestinians that use the term gruesome violence. And then in talking about the accusations against Palestinians are always very specific and very lurid. But when it comes to what happened since October 7th, I apologize, I'm old school. I have to print things out.
I love it. Yes, yeah. Yes, he brought the receipt.
Yes. So when it comes to everything that has happened to Palestinians after October 7th, nobody, you know, we don't know who did anything. It's like the language is always extremely passive. So some examples, they say, many vulnerable civilians are suffering deadly consequences of the Israel-Hamas war. Residents of Gaza have been displaced and food insecurity has been severe. So they don't say who cut off the food. Remember, Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant announced on October 9th, 2023, we're cutting off all the food, the water, the electricity, the fuel, the medicine, to the human animals in Gaza, 2.3 million human animals, according to Yoav Gallant. But of course, none of that is mentioned in here. We don't know the amount of civilian death and suffering. Well, we know that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have provided and are providing the baby buster bombs to Israel, but they portray the Democratic Party role in this as entirely positive. Quote, the administration has worked relentlessly to deliver food, medicine, and other aid to the people of Gaza, and to set the conditions for the reconstruction of communities in Gaza that have been devastated by the war. No, they haven't. What they've done is they have devastated Gaza with their bombs supplied by the Democratic Party administration. Now, when it comes to the sexual violence, Rania, I don't know if you can click on the link that is in my tweet there. That okay, links yeah. to an article from the Electronic Intifada that I wrote a couple of weeks or months ago about how Kamala Harris herself hosted a screening at the White House. This was in June. Of the totally fraudulent film featuring former Facebook executive and billionaire Sheryl Sandberg perpetuating the mass rape hoax the lie that Palestinians, and if you scroll down, you see some of that, that just, I detail this in the article at the Electronic Intifada, how this whole film and the claims of mass rapes are a total lie and fabrication. And we've covered it there. We have like actually an hour-long segment at the Electronic Intifada meticulously debunking the Sheryl Sandberg film and showing that to this date, there is not one single documented case of rape on October 7th, not one. No firsthand accounts, no credible eyewitnesses, no forensic evidence, no identified victim living or dead. And what the Democratic Party says in this platform, I think the wording is very careful, and I pointed this out in my tweet that you showed earlier. They say that President Biden and Kamala Harris denounced Hamas's brutal attack on Israel on October 7th, condemned the gruesome violence, including conflict-related sexual violence, demonstrated by Hamas, and made clear that the United States wants to see Hamas defeated.
You just had to listen to an interview between Rania Khalik and Ali Abu Nima, and it's about how the DNC won't budge on Israel's support. What's happening at the convention now is one big lie, one big cheerleading session full of sound and fury, signifying nothing, basically. Again, I just want to remind you, when we're in Pledge Drive, and if you like the Shai Onana show, if you like the fact that there is a one-stop station and one-stop show for your all the news on Gaza, all the best of news on Gaza, all the highlights that we bring you every week, please make a pledge at 202-588-9739. Again, you can call 202-588-9739 and make a pledge to the Shai Onana show. Our goal is a modest $600 this hour, and any sum that goes cuts through that goal would be greatly appreciated. Then I would know that people are listening, and people are acting, and people are rising to confront this horror that we're facing in this here 21st century. Thank you.
Hey, it's that time again. Join WPFW as we move to get fit at the annual 5K run walk for total fitness. Dynamic fitness instructors will be there, free healthy snacks and water, exciting music, boat rides for families, and a double dutch contest and a hand dance contest are all included in the 5K fundraiser. This event takes place at the Bladensburg Waterfront Park, 4601 Annapolis Road in Bladensburg, Maryland, from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Saturday, September 14th. Now, for more details and how to register, visit our website, wpfw.org, or call 202-888-5484. That's 202-888-5484. Meet you at the park on Saturday, September 14th, 1 p.m. to 7 p.m., WPFW, making a better world, one broadcast at a time.
This Labor Day, September 2nd, WPFW centers programming celebrating workers with The Grind, Work, Resistance, and Hip Hop. From 9 a.m. until 1 p.m., we'll hear from workers about conditions, organizing, and resistance, as well as present our annual survey of labor music. At 1 p.m., WPFW's Decipher Collective takes over until midnight, with hip-hop reflecting the highs, lows, and mid-ranges of the daily grind. That's The Grind, work, resistance, and hip-hop. This Labor Day, 9 a.m. until midnight on WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
From Rahsaan Roland Kirk to Asada Shakur, WPFW has been your go-to for cultural and political education since 1977. Your contributions have allowed us to uphold the mission of liberatory media set forth by our founders. August 11th through the 24th presents another opportunity to support WPFW during our summer pledge drive. Donations can also be made anytime at WPFWFM.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
For WPFW News in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Sue Goodwin. Today is Wednesday, August 21st. Here are some headlines. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken left the Middle East yesterday without a ceasefire deal in hand, warning that time is of the essence for the sides to come to an agreement. Both Hamas and Israel signaled that challenges to a deal remain. Blinken's visit to the region was his ninth since the war in Gaza began last October.
Time is of the essence because with every passing day, the well-being and lives of the hostages are in jeopardy. Time is of the essence because every single day, women, children, men in Gaza are suffering without access to adequate food, medicine, and at risk of being wounded or dying in fighting that they didn't start and they cannot stop. And time is of the essence because with every passing day, there's the danger of escalation in the region.
Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, meanwhile, met with right-wing groups of families of soldiers and hostages held in Gaza. The groups oppose a ceasefire, and they said Netanyahu told them Israel would not abandon two strategic corridors in Gaza. Hamas opposes Israeli occupation of Gaza, including those corridors. The U.S. has also voiced opposition to an indefinite Israeli occupation of Gaza. In domestic news, Democrats continue their convention in Chicago today with speeches tonight from former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and former President Bill Clinton. This comes on the heels of yesterday's lineup, which featured another former president. WPFW reporter Chris Bangard-Drowns has that story.
The Democratic National Convention in Chicago held its second round of speeches last night, headlined by Michelle and Barack Obama. The former president praised party nominee Kamala Harris and reprised his old campaign slogan of hope.
I am feeling hopeful because this convention has always been pretty good to kids with funny names who believe in a country where anything is possible.
Last night also featured a boisterous roll call of states as they ceremonially nominated Harris and her running mate Tim Walz. A number of celebrities made cameos or performances, including Lil Jon, Bruce Springsteen, and Spike Lee. Harris and Walz left the festivities for a portion of the evening to travel to nearby Milwaukee for a campaign rally.
We are so honored to be your nominees. This is a people-powered campaign, and together we will chart a new way forward.
Also featured last night were a series of disaffected Republicans who opposed Donald Trump, including his former press secretary, Stephanie Grisham.
I saw him when the cameras were off. Behind closed doors, Trump mocks his supporters. He calls them basement dwellers. On a hospital visit one time when people were dying in the ICU, he was mad that the cameras were not watching him. He has no empathy, no morals, and no fidelity to the truth.
Protests continued outside the DNC yesterday, and police arrested several people during a pro-Palestine march. Police wearing riot gear clashed with some protesters outside the Israeli consulate. At least 13 people were arrested during protests earlier yesterday, most of them related to what police called a brief breach of a security fence in the area of the convention.